Almost every family did the same thing for a living. Like in springtime, go to spring camp, summertime, go to summer camp, fall time, they either go trapping or cutting wood and then go back to Galena. And then from there, they trap, or most of them, they leave their kids there at Galena and then just go out trapping because that's the way they made their living. There was no job whatsoever. It's a wonder we're living today, alive. But they sure did a good job because we were never hungry. All that fish, berries, meat, all kinds of meat. Isn't that something?
Is it real plentiful around Galena?
Yes. Because there was hardly anybody there, just that few family there, and that whole area is just all for that people there. And then when we're going to Kaikuk, boy, we just think of all that canned beans and spam, just like we're just going to a steak dinner. I don't even like to look at Boy, we just think, God, we're going to eat spam, you know. We're going to eat canned beans.
How often do you go to Kaikuk?
Well, in springtime was the best time because they had a lot of dances then, you know, when we got to be teenager. Get a kick out of my sister Mary. She always used to fall in love with about two, three times while we're in Kaikuk or Nulato. Yeah, used to have nice dances. But then we stay there till about maybe 2 o'clock, and then they say, well, it's time to go. When they say it's time to go, you gotta go. And then once you get in the hall, you can't go back out unless you ask your mother. Yeah. I don't know how we ever had a boyfriend. Because you can't just go and go out and just go take a walk, you know. No place to go take a walk at Kaikuk anyway. There's no roads, just the end of the village, and then down here is the end of the other end, you know, and no place. You just go back in the woods, and that's the whole back there is, I guess, that's an outhouse right there, just a few toilets, you know. Who the heck wants to go back there?
So what were the dances like? Who would make music?
Oh, violin, guitar, and that's it. But they used to have a heck of a good dance. Square dances, foxtrot, waltz, one step, two step, jigs.
Did everybody dance?
Everybody danced, yeah, right. The only hard part about it is you have to go home. Your mother is tired or your dad is tired. You have to go home 2 o'clock. Then you have to go home. Yeah. Couldn't stay.
Is that winter time? Is that before breakup?
This is in springtime.
After breakup?
Yeah. After breakup, because everybody comes out, you know, from cut off and to sell their fur, I guess, or whatever. To get the supplies for the summer, I guess. And then there's a lot of people there. There's tents all over the place. A lot of people. And then we go on down to Nulato, and that's another place where they used to have good dances, you know.
So you go from Kaikuk to
To Nulato, yeah.
Would you just stay one day?
No? We stay about a week, I guess, and there's dance every night. Yeah. And it's time to go home, back to Galena.
Are you ready to go home by then?
No, not if you find a boyfriend. You ask my sister Mary. She used to cry. She said, boy, I used to cry all the time for my boyfriend. She said, I don't know why you never cried. I didn't feel like crying while my father was watching because we were in a boat, you know. Boy. But Mary gets under the blanket. It takes us, I don't know how many hours to come up from Kaikuk to Galena. But I know it's about 3 or 4 o'clock by the time we get to Galena.
How are you
traveling then? By gas boat. It's inboard, you know. I think my dad used to have Universal, I think.
Did you always have gas boat that you can remember?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have no outboard motor them days. Yeah, I left Galena in 1940 to go to work here at the hospital. And I never went back since then. I got married in 1941. And then I lost my husband and I remarried again. I used to live down Callens too. It used to be winter camp, summer camp. We just had a year-round home there. Nice place. Fish and trap.
When did you live there?
Let me see, 19... Oh gee, since 1941, I guess. Started living down there, off and on, you know. Then we went back down to Galena. My husband worked there for a while. Then we came back again, went back to Callens to fish, trap. I used to like to trap. I don't think I know how to trap anymore. I don't like to remember.
Why is that too much work?
It's hard work, trapping. And fishing is just as bad, you know. But at least you don't have to look at the time.
So who was your first husband?
Henry Minook. Mm-hmm. I have a son outside in California. He's married. He's got 2 little boys. And all the rest are Roberts. Mm-hmm. I had 1 boy.
Was he from Galena too?
My boy? No, he's from here.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I met him when I came up in 1940. I started working at the old hospital in 1940. And then they built this new hospital here. We called it new at that time. It's old now. So I must be getting old. Yeah, I had to raise my family, so I stayed off work for quite a few years before I went back to work. Altogether, I got almost 20 years in. So I started thinking about retiring pretty quick, I guess. Anything else?
A lot of questions.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Well, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about around 1940 and 41 when you got married, because that was, you left home then, so that was kind of a big change for you, wasn't it?
That was a big change for me, yeah. A friend of mine was working here at the hospital at that time, and she writes to me, you know, why don't you come up here to work at the hospital with me, you know? Pauline Carlo.
Oh.
Her name was Pauline Damascus. There, we were just friends ever since we were crawling around, they claim. And we're still friends. And my mother's telling my dad, you should send her to Tanana so she could go to work. And that's how I came up here. I came up here April 4th. That was a funny thing. You know, when I left Galena, the snow was so deep, I don't know how we ever got across. The plane used to land on a bar way across there, you know. But still, the snow was deep. We barely took off. We just going about this far in snow, I guess, or above our knee. It was so soft. And then when I came here, we landed on the ice out here in front of the hospital. And there was no snow. And there was just, you know, that was such a big change for me. Because all that snow down there, still like winter, it wasn't cold, you know, but all that snow is there. And there was no snow. It's just a few patches here and there. And they had to put across long planks for us to cross on. Gee, I don't know. I always think about it. What if we fell in? So warm. April 4th. And that's the year it went out at Ninan, I guess. April 20th. 1940. I always look at that.
You bet on the ice classic.
That year?
No, ever.
Oh, I do. But then this last 2 years, I never bid on it. I give up, I guess. I don't know.
So what else was different for you?
Well, it was a big village for me. And I was worried because I thought, boy, never held a job before. I don't know how it was going to be for me, you know. But I made out okay. Good people to work with. Dr. Scheibel was a doctor here at that time. I was a nurse's assistant. The only thing I never used to care too much about was being on night shift all by yourself, you know, to be in charge of all that sick people and you're not even a nurse. Gosh, they wouldn't let you get away with that now.
Was anybody else there when you had night shift?
Well, this one whole building was a hospital and a living quarters and a kitchen and everything. Isn't that something? One corner was a dietary section, and then connecting to that was a surgery, I guess you would call it a surgery suite, or that's where Dr. Sam did all his surgery. And then on the other side was the doctor had the biggest room, you know. And then next to that was for the nurses, two nurses, I guess. And there was another one that was living way down in a shack, you know, way down. It was her choice. And then we were living in another building. There was Louise Larson and I. Pauline had left to get married before I even got here. So she wasn't even here when I got here. Quite a letdown. I expected her to be here, and here she left to get married.
Wait, so were you homesick?
Oh, I was so homesick. Because, like downriver people, I guess I was kind of hard to get to know. I was too quiet. I hardly used to talk them days. So it was hard for me to make friends, you know. I guess I was shy. I think that was my problem, you know. But then the nurses were real good to me. That made up for everything. And then I had a couple uncles here. They always say they were my uncles. Actually, they were my mother's first cousin, you know. The Edwins, little Arthur Antosky and Harper Antosky and Lawrence Antosky. They kind of looked after me, you know, like if I was going uptown to go to the store or something. They always managed to stop and they talk with me and they always say, take care of yourself. They say, don't just walk around after dark because they say I we just hear those guys, they always say, oh, there's a pretty girl, and there's a pretty new girl down hospital, you know. And they were worried about me, you know. I them, oh, don't worry. I wouldn't be seen uptown, you know. And Henry always used to say, let's go to dance tonight. I always tell him, no, I got to write letters. I always used to make excuses, you know.
So how did you meet him?
Well, he was working there at the hospital, too. He was the first guy I got to know, I guess, because he was always around, you know. And then when I needed something, he always, when he's going to store, he's always shopping for me or something. Ambrose Kuzevnikov is another one that I got to know.
What's his name, Ambrose?
Kuzevnikov, yeah. He was working at the old hospital there, too. And he was married then. So, they got to be good friends of mine because I was kind of alone, you know.
So did you get married soon after that, the next year?
No, that fall. Yeah, I came in April and I got married in September. I didn't stay single very long. Yeah.
Were the dances up there different than down there?
Yeah, they were bigger. Yeah, they used to have a hall there at the Moose Hall. And music was real good, too. Come in. Yeah, we're talking about the dances, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really good. He finally managed to take me to dance one night. But then that's one thing I found out. He was a jealous guy. Too many guys like to cut in. Yeah.
You got to dance all night, though.
Oh, I got to dance all night, yeah, and he didn't like that too well. Yeah. Well, it was really good dances they used to have. Dr. Schabel used to be nuts about Bear Barrel Polka. You know, you always hear that song a long time ago. He used to like to dance to that. Whatever it is. Polka. He used to like to dance. Oh, he was really right in there dancing. He used to do surgery every day. I don't know how he did it. And then, you know, when we get to talk about it, you know, nowadays, we always used to say, he must have been just practicing on Indians. Well, I guess he did save quite a few people. What? I don't see him losing very many people. He did all kinds of surgery. The first time I went in to watch, I almost fainted. But Mrs. Zeller, I found out that I was getting too pale, you know, and she told me, sit on that stool. She said, put your head down. So I sat on that stool and I just put my head down and then I got all right. I just felt like all that blood, you know. I feel like I was just gonna faint. And I guess she was watching me because it was my first time, you know. And before that, you know, when they were scrubbing up, you know. And, she said, well, how do you feel? And I said, kind of nervous, you know. I said, well, I never saw anything like this before. I never did see a surgery before, you know. And then here they are just cutting that stomach open, you know, all that blood, you know. But then after a while, you get used to it. Because I know I had to. They sort of got to have witness, like, I guess. I don't know. But I never did go much for it.
So, those days, did people come from all over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They used to come all in, and it just was such a small hospital. The top floor was, I don't know how many rooms. But boy, we seemed like we were just busy all the time. From the time, you know, we didn't have no sterilizers or anything like that upstairs that I know. Downstairs they did. I guess in kind of surgery, I guess that's where they did all their sterilizing. And then we had another building for laundry downstairs, and the top floor was TB ward. When you come to think of it, now if the accreditation team just went through there, they just condemned the place without even a second look. We used to lose a lot of TB people. Yeah, that was before that drug came out. And then when I went back to work at the new hospital, I quit when I got married. We were down camp. And then they needed somebody, and I came back. I went back to work again. Worked for a while again. Just on temporary, you know. And then I lost my husband. My husband died, and then I went back to work again.
What year was that?
I think it was 47. I think it was 47. 46 or 47, he died. And then I went back to work. But I didn't work very long again. I got married again. Didn't stay single very long either.
Were there a lot more men than there were women?
It seemed like it, because, you know, there was a lot of guys on the steamboat them days too. And then when they stop, boy, they used to have good dances. They used to look forward to those boats to stop, you know. And they didn't have no lifts or crane or anything. They used to hand truck everything. I mean, you know. Gosh, and it took a while to unload the barges. At least 12 hours anyway, and that's a lot of time to dance. Those guys, you know, when it's their turn, they work 6 hours. Each shift works 6 hours. Some guys, they just dance, and then they go back to work, no sleep. People used to like to dance a lot. But it isn't so nowadays. Something happened along the way. That was the main thing they used to look for when they used to trap. Come in. Few days before Christmas, and every night there's dance until past New Year. And that's the thing that you used to look forward to, you know. But now it just changed. Dances is just nothing for them, because, well, personally, I blame it on drugs, I guess. Booze, you know. Pints used to be only $1.50 a pint, and still people never used to drink that much. They come in to have good time and potlatches. That's it. And I think those were the good days. I always think that. It'll never be again. I don't think. The way I see it, you know. Things really changed. I never did. My father never smoked or never drank. And from the time I was a little girl, that was his desire. He always used to say, he used to tell Mom, he used to catch Mom, give Mary, my sister, beer or something. And he always used to tell her, never give her nothing. I don't want her to smoke. I don't want her to drink. And that was my father's wish. And that's just the way it is. I don't know. To this day, he never drank or he never smoked. And I thought, well, I'll be like him. And my first husband drank a lot. And I thought, I'll never marry a guy that drinks again. He used to drink a little. now and then while I was married to him, my second husband. But he used to be a heavy drinker before I married him, but he quit. Because I used to tell him, I just can't stand being married to a guy that drinks. Because I'm miserable, really. I always tell my kids, I wish some of my kids were like me, don't smoke or don't drink. That's just a wishful thinking, I guess.
Well, you said that you don't think things will ever be the way they used to be. What do you think is going to happen?
I always tell my kids, you know, nowadays I tell them, well, I just think that I have it bad, you know, because I always see kids monkey around with marijuana, booze, and stuff like that, you know. I tell them, I always think that I think it's bad now, but I think wait till when your kids, you have your own kids, maybe it'd be worse. But I hope not. Really. I don't know. Some new things is always coming out, you know.
What do you think your parents thought about you?
About me?
Yeah, about kids
and. You mean my mother and my dad? I think they thought I was pretty good. Everybody said I think I was pretty good. Even the old people, you know, because I was thoughtful of old people. I was always around old people, always listening to them. And when they're giving me advice, I always used to listen to them, you know. They always say, don't think that you're better than anybody, even if you just... you don't drink or you don't smoke, because it just might turn around on you and you might start doing those things and you'll be worse than the next person, you know. That's what they used to tell me, just two old ladies. In fact, just two old ladies always used to tell me that, you know. And never be too proud, you know. Never think that you're prettier than your friends or something, you know. Because they say one day you're pretty and then next week they say you might be not the way you were. You might be in a fire. You might have some terrible accident. That's another thing they used to tell me. And I used to listen. And then when people sew, they always say, how did you learn how to sew? I used to watch people. You know, when they're sewing or something. Most people don't mind, you know, kids watching them sew, but there's some women, they always say, oh, don't watch me because I'll poke my hand, my finger, you know. You ever hear that? Very few. Nowadays, I never see kids sit down and watch people sew or knit.
I think that's the way you learn most things, watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to watch Helen Stanish when she used to sew fur. You know, the way she moved her finger, you know, the way she put in all the fur like this before she makes the stitches, you know. And then when she's tanning rabbit skin, beaver skin, I used to watch her.
What do you think the most important things you learned from the older people are?
Well, sewing. Not so much cooking, because I don't think they were great cooks. I don't think they were. I mean, you know, they know how to cook. I mean, the main things like how to make rabbit stew in the oven and stuff like that, you know, or bake fish. There's nothing that you can cook fancy, I guess. Everything was cooked plain, like fried or baked or boiled or roast or whatever.
What about other things they told you?
Like, they used to tell me a lot of things, you know, how to take care of myself. Like this old lady. There's another thing. Did you ever read Pauline Carlos' book? Well, there's some things that everything that she says in there is, it goes with me because we're the same age, you know. And when a girl first become a woman, that means when they first get their period, well, that's when the time they say you're going to be an adult. But in my case, it was before that because I had to take care of my brothers and sisters. It was up to me to keep them clean, wash, cook, clean house, besides going to school, you know. And when I first became a woman, this old lady said, well, she told my mom, she's got to come down to me so I can give her grease, you know. And I thought, I always did hear about this, and I thought, ooh, I'm going to vomit, you know. And then I went down to her place because I guess I was a very obedient gal, I guess. I went down to her place and she said, I'll give you fish oil, you know. And I said, okay. So she put it in a cup and she put warm water in there. I tell her, what's this for? You know, I know what it was for because I already heard it, you know. She said, well, she said, this is so that you will never be hungry. And I said, well, okay. She said, you can go without eating a long time and you wouldn't be hungry. I tell her, okay. I tell her, well, I feel like telling her, well, I hope so. So I drank this thing. And then when I was down Ruby this last trip, you know, I forgot all about this. My sister is younger than me, at least, let me see. I was born 1920, she was born 1925. And she looks older than me, really. Everybody thinks she's older than me. She said, you remember that time when she said, you dye your hair? And I said, Mary, I say, every time I see you, you ask me if I dye my hair. I say, if I really dye my hair, I say, I must use a good dye. And then I tell her, she said, you know, you remember Mrs. Bogie, what she did to you? And I said, what? What kind of leaves she give you? She said. And I said, oh, Mary, I forgot all about that. Here, you know, in springtime, everything is thawing out, you know, all around in the woods. And there's these round leaves that's just green. It just stays all through the winter, and in springtime, it's green. Just like it just never died off or anything. Well, she had this, and she said, you put this, she said, it's just like she made an insoles like out of it, like, or something. She said, you leave this in your boots all the time. She said, don't take it out. Maybe until you lose it, she said, you know. And then she had a little pillow. And then she said, this is for you too. She said, it has the same thing in there. I said, what's that? And she said, it has these green leaves. She calls it native name, but I don't remember the name of it now. She said, this is so that you can hold up good under old age. She said, will have a good life. She will have a good, healthy life, she told me. I told her, okay. Well, I thought, well, I hope so. Medicine woman, I still think like that about it. I wonder if she knew. I don't think she did. And then she said, this summer, she said, when it's time for salmon berries, she said, I don't want you to eat salmon berries this summer. Because she say, when you eat salmon berries, she say, you get old just fast. I tell her, okay. So I never ate salmon berries that summer. And then she said, another thing, she said, I don't want you to eat blueberries. She said, the only kind of blueberries that you'll eat this summer is the kind that, she said, that's oval shape, not round ones. I thought, gee, that's hard to find. Because when I pick blueberries, you hardly see any of those. But I picked berries that summer and I found few. So I ate it, you know. I tell her, what's that for? She said, you'll have more boys than more girls. And I did. I had more boys than I did girls. But I lost two. I had 7 boys and 5 girls. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm, she did. Yeah. And then another thing, she said that you're going to wear gloves all the time. So I had to do that summer too. Oh, I didn't want to when I was going down to Kaikuk, you know, because I know they'll know why I'm wearing gloves. And then you have to wear a kerchief too. You could never go bareheaded. You had to wear a kerchief all summer. That was another thing. That's just their superstition, you know.
So was that hard for you when you went to Kaikuk?
Oh, yes. I had to wear a scarf and then I had to wear gloves. That's bad.
But did anybody ever say anything?
No, the young boys were pretty good about that. They were well-behaved boys them days, you know. They never make smart remarks or anything. I don't think boys are like that nowadays. They'll say something. So it's a good thing, I guess, it's not like that anymore.
Did you teach any of your daughters the same kind of thing?
No, I didn't. Why should I when nobody else is doing it, you know? Because they're going to be made fun of, I guess, you know.
When did people stop teaching their daughters
that? Gee. Maybe about 19... Maybe 1940, I don't know, maybe when my world changed, I guess. I don't know. I never noticed it up here.
Why do you think that changed?
I don't know why it changed, really. It just really changed. But I don't know if it did me any good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was her favorite for some reason. I guess because I made all the kids, because it seems like I was the oldest, you know, she had all that wood on kind of me, I guess. Yeah, because we had a lot of fun doing it too, you know, because we carry all this driftwood so far every day, I guess, you know, that's the way it seemed. And then before you know it, it's there in her yard. And then, of course, we gave some to Mrs. Abraham, too, you know, because we couldn't just leave her out altogether. But not as much. That was the difference.
Did Mrs. Bogan have to collect it on her own, or did you and your friends get all the wood that she needed?
Yes, there's some people, you know, they always used to cut wood up the river, and they used to raft them down. And her son-in-law used to get her some too, but she uses this to mostly to start the fire with, I guess, you know. It helped anyway, you know. Especially she always used to say the stump used to be the best wood she used to burn. It throws more heat.
There was a fort here, wasn't there?
No. It was not here then.
It was already.
That's how come that one of those buildings was a hospital. But there was a lot of buildings still standing up at that time. There was officers' houses. They were just all lined up. Boy, I wish they could have just kept it like that, you know? Would have been something to see now. I used to go in those houses and used to just look at them. The windows were just still in, the rooms, just like somebody just moved out. But then after a while, you know, the foundations start giving out, and then people start tearing it down for material.
So nobody else stayed in those buildings?
No. We used one building, Louise and I, to stay in. But the rest were just stood empty, except for the ones way down. Helen Grant and them used it. That's where they kept their family to go to school. And they had great big gymnasium too. Long one. I guess that's where they used to have their dances, I guess. I don't know. Play games and stuff. They tore that down too. That it was standing up where that schoolhouse is right now.
Did any of the people stay over from the times when the military was
there? No, there was nobody here. Just the doctor and the nurses.
I'm still curious about how Tana was.
It's a bigger place, and there was, let me see how many stores. There was two stores, and there was a post office.
And then, stores,
let me see. Northern Commercial Company was one of the stores, and I remember we used to pay for milk, like something like 10 cans for a dollar. You know, boy, everything's so cheap. In fact, that's how my husband and I, we used to go out and cut wood back in the hills there. We used to cut wood, you know, 2 cords a day. And that's how we used to make our living.
So you sold